This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومستن بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, let's begin by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His qabul and acceptance for all of us here today. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His rahmah and forgiveness for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us patience and strength for all those who go through pain and struggle here and across the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their pain and suffering and give them strength and patience. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, there are three things as we continue to move forward in life. There are actually much more than three, but I will only mention to you three things that I think is critical as we continue our journey in life to preserve and protect our relationship with Allah. First, before we begin the topic, why the subject? Why are we talking about this? The importance of preserving and protecting that relationship. It's very simple. Just look around. Just think about all the struggles in this world, all the problems, how life just continues to become more and more difficult each and every passing day. And for all of us, we think of it and we interact with some of those struggles differently. Some people can handle it, some simply can't. Some people go through spiritual struggles, emotional struggles, mental health issues, and the list is literally endless. Three things. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah will always help you and me, inshallah. May Allah count us from amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Number one. There is a beautiful hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described to us. When a person commits a sin, they will say to Allah, O Allah, Ya Rabbi, Aznamtu Dhanban, I committed one sin. So forgive me. Now you would think the response will be, you are forgiven. This person is making tawbah and repentance. You are forgiven. Listen to Allah's response. My slave acknowledges and knows that I am his Rabb. And that alone, he's forgiven. Not the sin is the big issue here. The hadith continues. The person comes back to Allah a second time. You know, we're all in this hadith, by the way. This hadith speaks to every single one of us. Oh Allah, I committed another sin. Allah gives the same response. My slave knows that I am his Rabb, and he and she can turn to me anytime they want. And because of that, I forgive them. The third time, Allah takes it a step further. Same scenario, only this time Allah responds and says, as long as you, my slave, feels the discomfort, the remorse, the regret, the guilt of committing the sin, as long as that's there, as long as you and I were conscious, subhanallah, I shouldn't have said that. Subhanallah, I shouldn't have reacted that way. I should have done things a little different. There's a bit of that remorse, that guilt, as long as it's there. Allah says, do whatever you want, I will always forgive you. May Allah count us from amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Here's the real lesson behind this beautiful narration. The ulama, they say, قابل المصيبة بالتوحيد الله عز وجل. Meet every single pain and struggle and hardship with tawheed, with the oneness of Allah. Let me give you an example. This hadith, and there are plenty more, you notice that Allah's response when somebody committed a sin is that they acknowledge that Allah was the one that they turned to in the first place. Just the fact that they thought of Allah first, the one that they're sitting towards, the one that they're making the mistakes and feeling guilty because of. So they turn to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they talk to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That relationship is the reason why you and I breathe every day, inshallah, walillah ilhamd. And it's why we continue in life. It's because we live our lives only for Allah. Let me give you another example. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that there is a dua. If you say it, Allah will always and guarantee to lift all of your pain and struggle. You say this dua, it's guaranteed. I just want you to listen to the dua. Listen to how it starts. La ilaha illallah, Rabbul Arshil Kareem. La ilaha illallah, Rabbul Arshil Azeem. La ilaha illallah, Rabbul Samawat, wa Rabbul Ard, wa Rabbul Arshil Haleem. Did you hear in the beginning of each of those portions of the dua, how did it start? Everything was all about La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. The ulama, they say, this is really like, it really causes you and I to reflect and think. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah had once said, أَشَدُّ الْعُقُوبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا, the worst punishment in this world, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ لِسَانُهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, that Allah takes the tongue of a believer or a person and pauses it on the remembrance of Allah. They stop remembering Allah. And it's not just a verbal thing. Remember, when you remember Allah here, then it starts to manifest here. And when you remember Allah here, then the world sees the remembrance of Allah here, your whole life. So to preserve and protect the oneness of Allah, what must we do and continue to do? You must continue to have and preserve the remembrance of Allah in your lives, you and me, always and forever. May Allah preserve and protect the remembrance of Allah in our hearts and in our lives, always and forever. Allahumma ameen. So this is the first point, is to never lose sight of what you and I need, the core ingredient that Allah will accept and forgive us. Here is number two. Number two, the ulama, they teach us, do you know the largest group of inhabitants of Jannah, all of them, they share one quality? The largest group that will enter Jannah and stay there forever, bi-idhnillah, all of them have one quality in mind. You know what that quality is? It is etiquettes and good mannerisms. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us, on the day of judgment, the people that are closest to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the day of judgment, the people who can rest assured that their hisab and accountability will be easy for them, inshallah, are people who have good manners. Why are we talking about this? Well, it's very simple. We all know people who have gone for Hajj, gone for many umrahs, who have not missed a raka'ah of Taraweeh the entire month. They're really committed to their deen. There's just one problem. They can get mean. Some of them can get really mean. Some struggle with an ego. Some have attitude issues, anger problems. Some don't have an ounce of patience with people, but all the patience when they're alone. Those individuals. There's a tragedy behind all of this. The tragedy is, here you are, this individual, exhausting him or herself each and every day. Walillah ilhamd. But it's not affecting them. It's not causing any movement. That's the tragedy in worship. That's the tragedy when you and I commit. If you or somebody you know struggle with this, you struggle with the idea that after I pray, if somebody ticks me off in the parking lot, I give it to them. You lost the whole essence, the whole beauty, the whole purpose, why you came to salah and prayed, why you exhausted the effort to drive or to walk, get to the masjid, stay in the rows, go through all of that, and still nothing changed, nothing softened, nothing moved. That's the tragedy. So what do we do? The ulama, they tell us that keep in mind the value of all the little things that you and I do. Don't trivialize any of your deeds. Value every kind word. There was a man that was named Mas'ud ibn Muhammad al-Hamdani. Okay, Imam al-Zahabi talks about this in his collection of biographies of different scholars and ulama and so on. This particular individual was known to have a really interesting quality. You know what the quality was? He used to turn the page constantly in his life. You know how we say, you gotta move on, just turn a new page. You've probably been hearing that after Ramadan quite a bit, turn a new page. Well, this was what this individual was known for. And he was known that anytime somebody had an issue with him and they came to apologize or to confront him or what have you, he had this statement that he was known for. He would say to them, لا تذكر الماضي. Don't remember the past. لا تذكر الماضي. And he just kept repeating this. Anybody who had a problem with him, don't remember the past. Just forget it. Don't remember it. When he passed away, Some of his friends in the community saw him in a dream. And they saw this man, that it was said to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, don't forget your past. Or excuse me, don't remember your past. Leave it alone. You will enter Jannah. Don't think about what you've done, what's already submitted to Allah. It's done, but you're still here and you're still alive. Think now and think forward. There's actually one other very beautiful part of this story. Very beautiful, subhanAllah. This individual lived a life where they never held anything in their heart when it came to people. They had their problems, but they never held the grudge. They never labeled anyone. The ulama, they say that one of the benefits of this story, many others like it, is don't allow your tongue to get loose by talking ill or evil of anyone. Because what you do is you chew up. Instead of chewing up the reputation of somebody, you're also in the process chewing up your own good deeds. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And that's why from the same story, Imam al-Dhahabi gives a list of different things to think about. One of the things he tells us to think about is be careful of toxic friendships. Because the toxic friend is like the believer trying to swim and there's an anchor tied around his foot. He's trying to move forward. What's holding him back? It's the weight of this toxicity. It's like this toxic feeling. Toxic companionship or friendship or company. It's pulling them back. And here's the thing. This anchor is there. The friend thinks, you know, I can eventually. But it's not happening. The more he or she struggles to swim with the anchor, the more difficult it becomes. So they have this like false perception that I'll get through, but they're really not going anywhere. Tell me, if you are somebody you know that has this struggle, and think about the imagery that Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah gives us to think about. What do you say? What do you do? The ulama, they say, when it comes to toxic companionship, treat it as such. If you have to move on from that. It's not worth it. This is why Allah tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, that on the day of judgment, somebody will come and that they will be chewing on their knuckles. Some of the ulama say it's in reference to a particular individual, but there is a benefit for all of us as well. That these ayat, وَيَوْمَ يَعْضُ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. So on that day, the zalim, the wrongdoer, hands. And they're saying, subhanAllah, ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulana khalila. Oh how I wish I could have taken such and such person as a really close friend. You know, we have a lot of the students that are here, the students from the academy, but there are other students here. Your friend will literally, who you choose, change your entire life. You concentrate on that one part of your life. Tawheed starts to become permanent. It remains with you. You start to see the beauty of this deen. You start falling in love with Islam. You start understanding why Islam is the way it is. And you start seeing the ease and beauty in it. Just by doing this one thing. That's why parents and teachers and myself and others, that's why we talk about this so much. It's that critical. There's one last point, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude with. In the second part of the khutbah, it is a portion of a beautiful hadith Qudsi, that many of us are aware of, but there is a very beautiful point of benefit that for me personally, and I hope it's the same for you, it was life-changing. This is the part of the hadith that really makes us feel, no matter what happens in this world, I'll be okay, inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep us close to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His rahmah on each and every one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to purify our akhlaq, purify our tongues, purify our hearts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us together in a way that He is pleased with. Allahumma ameen. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم ورسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. In a hadith Qudsi, our Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام tells us that Allah says, أنا عند ظن عبدي بي فَلْيَظُنُّ بِمَا يَشْهَى. Pause. It's a very long hadith. This is the only portion I want to share with you. I am what my servant thinks of me. So let my servant think of me however he or she wishes. The hadith continues. If he thinks of me in a good way, that's how I will be with him. But if he has awful thoughts of me, then that's how I will be with him. You know why this narration is so important? Do you believe Allah can solve all of your problems? Do you believe Allah can fulfill all of your needs? Do you believe Allah can resolve all of the struggles and pain around the world? Do you believe when you say you trust Allah that you really trust Allah, even in the lowest moments of our lives? Do you believe somebody wants to get married, Allah will give them the right spouse for them? Do you believe, can't have children, but Allah knows best, Allah will decide? Do you believe all of these things? That's what Allah tells us. If you believe Allah is the one who is in ultimate control of every aspect of our lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of and control every aspect of your life. And if you believe it in a positive way, then Allah will always make us content and happy with whatever His qadr is. Can you imagine, because of a hadith like this and many others, how strong emotionally, spiritually the believer is? Nothing in this world will harm him or her. And if it does, they still wake up every day with Alhamdulillah. That's where we want to be. If we are not there, we're still here, and inshallah we can be there. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves these qualities in all of us, that not only we benefit from it, but others see it in us and they're also inspired. I pray that Allah purifies our akhlaq. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes us to be a people in this world and in the akhirah that He is pleased with. Everything that we say, everything that we do, all the choices we make, we pray that Allah is pleased with it first and foremost before anyone. And with that being said, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our righteous deeds. And may Allah Azza wa Jal increase us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us of our shortcomings and our mistakes. Ya Rabbi, we are sitting here today for You. Ya Rabbi, what brought me to this masjid today was You. And oh Allah, we ask You to accept from us our efforts. Accept from us our efforts. That You know at the end of the day, Ya Rabbi, even though we sin, we still love You. We still want to be close to You. And even though we sin and it continues to happen, Ya Rabbi, we still trust You and we still have hope in You. Oh Allah, we ask You to accept us from the righteous in this world and in the akhirah. Allahumma ameen. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقت الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله